In the name of God, the compassion of the merciful, hello everyone, and welcome to this edition of IRIN and English News with me, Nimar Chitsos. The Iranian president says dialogue based on peace and justice is the key to solving global problems. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad made a remark during a meeting with the new Italian ambassador to Iran, Luca Giansanti, in Tehran. Ahmadinejad said world nations are increasingly after kindness, justice, and respect. He added that human crises do not have military solutions and require other solutions based on mutual understanding, dialogue, justice, and respect. Ahmadinejad pointed out that people should not have enmity towards one another because the world cannot run based on enmity and contempt, as no one will gain under such circumstances. Referring to Iran and Italy's historically good relations, the Iranian president stressed the need for the growth of all-out ties between the two countries. He said Tehran sees no obstacle on the path of friendly relations with Rome. For his part, Giansanti urged efforts for the establishment of peace, harmony, and friendship among governments and nations, saying Iran can definitely play an important role in this regard. Elsewhere, Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad received ambassadors from Sri Lanka and Sudan. Speaker of Iranian Majlis Ordi Parliament arrived in the Indian capital, New Delhi, for an official visit to explore new avenues for the expansion of bilateral ties, particularly in the area of parliamentary cooperation. Ali Larijani said Iran and India are determined to promote closer interparliamentary cooperation. Larijani described India as one of the leading players in the region, which has had long-standing parliamentary relations with Iran. The Majlis Speaker stated that his trip to India comes at the invitation of the Speaker of the House of the People, Meera Kumar, and a response to her visit to Iran last year. Larijani said Iranian delegates will meet and hold talks with Indian President Pranab Mukherjee, Prime Minister Manmohan Singh, Minister of External Affairs Salman Khurshid, National Security Advisor Shivanshankar Menon, and Chairman of the Council of State Mohammad Hamid Ansari, on the expansion of political and trade interactions between Tehran and New Delhi. He added that Iranian and Indian officials will also discuss regional and international issues of interest, such as Afghanistan, the campaign against illicit drug trafficking, and war on terrorism. But before departure, Larijani said the recent report by the International Atomic Energy Agency on the Islamic Republic's nuclear energy program aims to create media hype ahead of talks between Tehran and the P5+1 group. Larijani said cliché statements in IAEA Director General Yukiya Amano's report is aimed to create media hype. He added the IAEA is a professional institution in the nuclear issue and should not act in a way to undermine itself. Larijani further said, since all of Iran's nuclear activities are conducted under the supervision of the IAEA and the inspectors of this international institution, Iran expected the Director General's report to be fair. Meanwhile, Larijani stressed that Tehran has always welcomed constructive negotiations with the IAEA. He said in recent months, Iran's cooperation with the IAEA has exceeded its obligations, which shows that the country has nothing to hide in its nuclear affairs. The Iranian official further said the IAEA report would not influence the upcoming talks between Iran and the P5+1. Iranian lawmakers have advised the U.S. and its allies to accept Iran's nuclear energy program and abandon their confrontational policy in favor of interaction with the Islamic Republic. In a statement released on Sunday, 252 Iranian lawmakers said the U.S. and its Western allies should accept the reality of Iran's nuclear energy program and change their approach from confrontation to interaction. The statement issued ahead of the upcoming talks between Iran and the P5+1 added that Iran's nuclear train will never stop within framework of its peaceful goals. Iranian lawmakers also advised the Iranian negotiating team to defend the Islamic Republic's rights within the framework of the Non-Proliferation Treaty and in line with the regulations of the International Atomic Energy Agency. The statement added that any agreement with the P5+1 during the upcoming talks should be based on safeguarding national rights and interests of Iran. The IRGC ground force started massive war games, codenamed Payamnar Azam 8 or the Great Prophet 8, which include exercising different defense tactics in southern Iran on Saturday. The massive war games are underway in Iran's southern and southeastern regions of Kerman, Zarand, Shabjareh, Siriz, Yazdanabad, and Sang. Meantime, Iran's Islamic Revolution Guard Corps, IRGC, has tested a new short-range cruise missile which can successfully destroy small and mid-sized targets. The domestically designed and developed anti-ship cruise missile named Zafar was test-fired in the southwestern port city of Bandar Abbas. During the test, the missile mounted onto the light-speed boats accurately detected the designated targets and destroyed them. Zafar is a short-range anti-ship radar-guided missile capable of hitting and destroying small and medium-sized targets with high precision. On Saturday, the IRGC tested a shoulder-launched anti-aircraft gun, which can be used to shoot down any helicopter intruding into Iranian airspace. Over the past few years, Iran has held several drills to enhance the defense capabilities of its armed forces and to test modern military equipment and practice tactics. Iran's first domestically manufactured ocean-going tanker began its voyage in the Persian Gulf waters. The tanker was manufactured by Iran Shipbuilding and Offshore Industries Complex Company. The tanker is 178 meters long, 32 meters wide, and 16 meters high, with a 9-meter draft. In other news, Iran is preparing to exploit two onshore oil fields in the south of the country later this week. Sarvestan and Saratabad oil fields are to be inaugurated in a ceremony attended by senior government officials and oil industry managers with a goal of producing 15,000 barrels of oil per day. Iran is estimated to earn $1.5 million per day in revenues from the fields located in the southern province of Fars. Syrian president has blamed foreign-backed militants for almost 2 years of violence in his country, saying the government forces are only retaliating terrorist attacks. Bashar al-Assad said in an interview broadcast on German television, the Syrian government did not start the conflict, and it is the insurgents who are killing Syrian people and destroying the country's infrastructure. He also rejected claims that Damascus could use chemical weapons against the rebels fighting against the government, stressing that those making the claim are trying to exert more pressure on Syria. The Syrian president also criticized Turkey for its anti-Damascus stand and said Ankara has asked NATO to deploy Patriot missiles on its soil, only to portray Syria as a threat. Assad said his future can only be decided by the Syrian people. Meantime, the foreign-backed militants in Syria have reportedly been supplied with a large new consignment of weapons, including heavy armament, over the recent weeks. Sources said the new armaments, including anti-tank weapons and rifles, have been sent across the Jordanian border into the southwestern governorate of Daraa. However, it declined to disclose the name of the foreign country supplying the armaments. Saudi Arabia, Qatar, the U.S. and its major European allies, Turkey, and the United Arab Emirates are some of the major supporters of the militants in Syria. The Syrian crisis began in mid-March 2011. Many people, including large numbers of security personnel, have been killed in the violence, and several international human rights organizations say the foreign-sponsored insurgents have committed war crimes. Hamas, as well as thousands of Palestinians, blame Zionist regime for the death of another prisoner in a Zionist regime jail. A Palestinian prisoner held at a Zionist regime's prison has reportedly died once again, bringing to the attention of the world the plight of these captives in Zionist regime jails. Zionist prison authorities claim that the detainee, a 30-year-old Arafat Jardat, has apparently died of cardiac arrest, while Palestinian sources say the death of the inmate was the result of torture and not a heart attack.
Hamas movement blames the Israeli occupation for the death of the Palestinian prisoner Arafat Jaradat. Israel is responsible for this crime. We, the Hamas movement and the Palestinian factions, will use all the means necessary to end the suffering of the Palestinian captives and to free them from the Israeli jails. The international community should end these crimes and to end the suffering of the Palestinian prisoners.
The prisoner was in the hands of the Israeli Shabak Security Agency and held at the Israeli Shabak prisons, so Israel is responsible for the death of this prisoner.
This popular movement should continue until the international community intervenes to end the crimes against the prisoners.
Meanwhile, thousands of Palestinian prisoners have launched a one-day hunger strike in protest at the death of a Palestinian inmate in a Zionist regime jail. A protest move came one day after Zionist regime officials alleged that Arafat Jaradat, a 30-year-old father of two, had died of cardiac arrest in Zionist regime's Megiddo prison. Reports also say the regime's forces have been put on high alert for possible demonstrations by Palestinians over Jaradat's death. More than 4,500 Palestinian prisoners are held in Zionist regime's prisons, many of them without charge or trial. Four of these prisoners, Ayman Sharweh, Samar al-Assawi, Jafar Izzeddin, and Tarek Gatan, have been on hunger strike for months. Several demonstrations have been held across the Palestinian territories to show solidarity with the four men whose health is deteriorating. The inmates were admitted to hospital on Friday. Now, Egyptian opposition protesters have poured into the streets in the capital, Cairo, to rally against President Mohamed Morsi. The protesters gathered near the city's main administrative building, where they chanted anti-Morsi slogans. Demonstrators also called on Morsi to fulfill his election promises. Protesters want Morsi to realize the goals of the revolution that toppled former dictator Hosni Mubarak in 2011. On February 8, thousands of Egyptian opposition protesters took to the streets to rally against Morsi after calls from nearly 40 opposition parties and groups for mass demos across the country on the Friday of Dignity. The Egyptians launched a revolution against the pro-Zionist regime on January 25, 2011, which eventually brought an end to Mubarak's 30-year-long dictatorship on February 11, 2011. The financial crisis is still affecting the Portuguese economy as well as cars factory, particularly Volkswagen, which has caused more layoffs in the company. Our correspondent in Lisbon has a scoop.
Around 35 kilometers south of Lisbon, in Palmela municipality, is located the biggest car factory in the country. Volkswagen Auto Europa employs more than 3,000 workers and it's located in an industrial park, which also provides thousands of jobs. In Portugal, car sector has been in crisis for the last years, but in January, production decreased 20% comparing with 2012. Manufacturing decline is related not only with country situation, but also with Europe's crisis, since only 2% national production is for the Portuguese market. There are 5 automobile factories in the country, and all of them are producing less. According Portuguese Automobile Association, the number of cars produced in January was only of 12,500. Volkswagen Auto Europa is still presenting the best numbers in Portugal. However, António Chora explains us the risks of unemployment in a company with this size.
With so many people working directly or indirectly for Auto Europa, the future of this company can be of extreme importance, not only for car sector, but for Portugal itself. Inês Sutil, Chabaca Cabar, Palmela, Portugal.
And on that note, we're going to wrap up this edition of iRyan and English News. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Goodbye now. We'll be right back.